Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and there are some movies that I won't see, but in general, I will see all of them. This is Doug Loves Movies, recording on Oscar Sunday, March 10th, 2024. And my guests today are all award-worthy. They are Ronan Hirschberg, Gabe Malika, and Gareth Reynolds. Hello, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Doug, Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Let's meet them individually and alphabetically by first name like we do. He's the star of the off-Broadway show Solo, a show about friendship. It's Gabe Malika. Welcome back, dude.
Hey, Doug. I'm really excited to be here. I'm 1-1. I have one win and one last place, so I'm going for second today. That'd be my dream.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I enjoy I enjoy saying welcome back to people named Gabe for reasons we don't need to get into. But are you do you plan on watching the Oscars tonight? Are you an Oscar watcher?
I am a big Oscar watcher. I'm going to be on a flight for the monologue. And then as soon as I get home to New York, I will put them on. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So a monologue sounds like you're anticipating a long one.
Say that one more. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
You think Jimmy Kimmel's going to fuck around for like an hour just while you're sitting in traffic? Maybe he'll do that thing where he has pizzas delivered again.
Yeah. Yeah, falafel, something ambitious.
Do you have any predictions about tonight?
That's a great question. I'm rooting for American Fiction. I thought it was like the funniest thing I saw this year.
Okay.
So I'm rooting for that for sure.
All right. Well, I think it's definitely got a shot at seems like it's in the pocket maybe for original screenplay, or is it based on a book?
I think it's original.
Based on a book. Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, we got a duel.
Let's not fight you guys.
It's a little bit of both, everybody.
He's the co-host of the Dollop podcast. Give it up. Applaud in your homes or wherever you're listening to this for Gareth Reynolds.
Thank you, everybody, for doing what Doug said, clapping in your homes. And hello. Hi, everybody.
Are you going to watch the Oscars tonight, dude?
I will watch them after I have a show. So after my show, I will go home and watch the Oscars and hate every minute of it, most like every time.
Where's your show at?
at in San Antonio at LOL.
Oh.
So,
oh, nice.
I feel like, yeah, the Oscars will probably notice that the ratings dip a little. I did not try to schedule it at the same time, but yeah.
Yeah, every time I see all the people that, you know, are set for a show, like, it, the Oscars is not like the Super Bowl or a holiday where you are well aware of when it's going to be, because it moves around all over the place like fucking Easter. So, you know, you end up sometimes having a gig the same night as the Oscars. And I find that, you know, the people that go out the night of the Oscars aren't necessarily, you know, anti-movie or just, you know, not into pop culture. They just don't care about the,
well,
you know, award ceremony.
Last year, I hadn't watched for a while. And then last year, I remember I was at my brother's, we were eating dinner, and people started texting me like, what the fuck just happened? And then there was the Will Smith, that, you know, and that made me go like, well, this is still actually enjoyable.
This, well, this can be good. Something could happen, you know, weird
yes.
things happen for
yes.
sure. But
yes.
unfortunately, you have to sit through a few of them to get a slapping or a streaker or something like that.
It's going to be hard to top.
Some of them are boring and without incident.
All of them, yeah.
And predictable. Like, I think most of the winners are kind of already lined up for tonight, you know. But
yeah.
Let's meet our third guest before I ramble on about this. You've seen him on The Tonight Show. You've heard him on Douglas Movies. It's Renan Hirschberg. Hey, dude.
Good to be here. Yeah, great to be here.
What about you? What's your Oscar plans for tonight?
I'm having an Oscars betting party that I have
oh,
every
wow.
year that I've invited a bunch of people to. And when I invite people to, a lot of them, I can sense them just feeling bad for me. Knowing that I do that, like I'm inviting them to an abstinence party.
Well, it's interesting because I would think that the comedy clubs in New York especially kind of have, especially like the Comedy Cellar or something like that, is probably still busy tonight with people who don't care about or know about the Oscars at all.
Definitely. I literally blocked off tonight. So I didn't get work.
Yeah, because they'll still do shows. It's funny.
No, I mean, no one cares about the. I think the only people who care about the Oscars are us right now having this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone cares.
But we really care.
But Sundays are dead enough. You know, Sundays are hard enough in comedy clubs these days.
Right.
You know, when I started out, Sunday night was the most favorite night of the week because comedy clubs were really like 9 shows a week, 6 nights a week, you know? And so when you got to Sunday, it was always almost like fan appreciation night or something, like the real comedy fans would come out on
right.
Sunday, and that would be the best show of the week. These days,
I can sometimes like, be Thursday, I feel like now.
Yeah, these days, well, you get Sundays are a real crapshoot.
I'm
yeah.
really excited for my show tonight, though. So let's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's not put any kind of
that's what I'm saying.
On your future.
I just want to make it clear I'm the most dedicated to the Oscars out of anyone here.
That is fair. That's
it does feel like you are.
Is there an award for that on this show, Doug?
No, not really.
Okay, that's
other
good.
Than I also... my undying appreciation.
Okay. Also, it's a little awkward. I invited Gabe to mine, and he was like, I can't do it, and then I'm hearing him go, well, you know, I'll miss the first part, but then I'm rushing home to watch it, and I'm like, yeah, you could have just come to my party, couldn't you have?
We do live around the block, don't we?
Yeah,
don't we?
Messed up.
You know, I just remembered we're neighbors.
I've been a real Oscar, you know, like my parents watched it and I watched it. I had nightmares because of it, because, you know, so many R-rated movies would get nominated and the clips alone would like just put ideas in my head. And
wow.
then like, you know, like The Exorcist, you know, I didn't see it when I was a kid, but it was all over the Oscars. So like,
right.
you got a real strong idea of what happens in The Exorcist. And, but so for the last few years, I've done this challenge, the hashtag DLM Oscar challenge on, you know, X, formerly Twitter. And the thing is, I attempt to watch every movie that's nominated, even the shorts and the animated and even movies that just got nominated for having a song over the end credits that was written by Diane Warren. So so this year, and I'm sad to say, I finally just not only gave up on trying to watch everything, but I haven't even seen all 10 Best Picture nominees.
Oh, wow.
So let's start with Renan. How many have you seen out of the 10 movies nominated for Best Picture?
So it's a little, I've seen eight, and there's two that I, the other two I gave up watching in the middle.
Okay, so you really tried to watch. Which I ones are the ones you gave up on?
I feel embarrassed. I feel like I'm going to get canceled for saying
Past
which ones
Lives?
I gave up
yeah.
on. No, no, I saw Past Lives in theaters.
Oh, okay.
I gave up on, and by the way, just keep in mind, I'm very, kind of critical. I don't know. I gave up on Barbie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. But what's the other one?
American Fiction.
Interesting.
Gabe's favorite movie.
So you got all the way through, you watched all of the Zone of Interest?
Yeah.
Because that sounds like one of the roughest watches I could imagine.
Well, I saw it in theater, so like yeah. you can't walk out of a Holocaust movie in theaters, you know what I mean?
Right.
You just, you know, but but yeah, it's bad that it's Barbie and American. I just feel racist and sexist, but you know, I couldn't get into either of them, you know.
But you got through Oppenheimer, you got through Past Lives, which is just people, just conversations that you have to read because it's subtitled.
And, yeah, I got through. I got through all those.
Yeah, you did some good work there, so I appreciate it. I think I've seen like three or four of the best pictures. I've seen Oppenheimer, Barbie. yeah.
Do you love movies, Doug?
I do, and I do, and I usually put myself through watching all the Oscar movies. But now there's so many movies coming out of every crevice.
And 10 is a lot. Too.
I like fun movies, and most of the even Barbie has parts that aren't fun for me,
I agree,
because it's got to have a message, it's got to have a point, and all of that. Right. You know, it wasn't just a flat out comedy.
That's why I turned it off. I just
but it ends in a Holocaust. Did you know that? So technically,
I only watch British Holocaust or atomic bomb movies. I will say. If I saw Zone of Interest like on TV, if I didn't see it in theaters, I probably would have turned that off too.
Yeah. No, I think that's a fair assessment. So I just want to say, because, you know, people are hearing this the day after the Oscars, so it's kind of silly to talk about it at all. But I do want to, you know, congratulate Oppenheimer, Paul Giamatti, Emma Stone, Divine Joy Randolph, and Robert Downey Jr. Who are all going to win tonight. Yeah. You know, there's a chance that the lady from Killers of the Flower Moon, Lily Gladstone, might beat Emma Stone. But Emma Stone's performance, they should take back her previous Oscar and give her one tonight, because
that'd be a cool role. They would.
That would be exciting.
Her performance in Poor Things is like is just a thing unto itself. It's the most unusual thing, you know, and she's so committed to it.
I just love the idea of the Oscars being like, okay, we gave it to you before, but we didn't really mean it. But now we mean it, and we're
we gave it to you before because we were surprised you could sing. You know, like that's why you won for La La Land. But for this, like, it just she just puts herself into it in every way
it's incredible.
Imaginable. And you know, and that's another one, Flowers of the Killer Moon. I just can't bring myself to watch a genocide movie. You know, a movie that's like. You know, where Martin Scorsese is on the record is saying, I tried to figure out a way to humanize these monsters, you know, that commit genocide. You know what I mean? It's like, why do they need to be humanized? Why can't we just spend the rest of our lives thinking they are the fucking evil?
And he also fails. He fails. They're not like they're. It's just like not humanized. It's just like, I found that movie to be like extreme. I mean, I love Scorsese, but I thought that movie was just so. It just picked the wrong story, and it was just boring to watching these like evil sociopaths.
Yeah, and like, oh, one of them's in love. Oh, who cares?
Yeah,
it's just so long too. When I watched The Irishman, I was like, all right, I'm gonna give it a shot. I cannot do that experience. It's so long.
It's got to be more interesting than The Irishman, though. The Irishman really. I did,
but everyone,
like
was say, everyone with The Irishman was like, it's pretty good. So I was like, all right, let's go. And then I was like, why?
Yeah. If you want to, the de-aging shit in that movie is just, it's so disturbing to watch.
Yeah.
Like even if you were like a child and didn't even know that Joe Pesci's 30 years older than they're portraying him in the movie, you would still sit there and go, what is, what is off about
this? Something's wrong.
Well, you'd be like De Niro seems like he has like some kind of early signs of like muscular dystrophy or something, because he's younger and he just can't move at all. He's like, this is like concerning.
Yeah.
Like Parkinson's or something.
Yeah. I'm glad we're finally trashing the Irishman a year
later. And we're comfy now. We can finally do it.
I will say, I think the last hour of that movie is actually fantastic.
The fifth hour is good, I'll say that.
I like the third hour of Oppenheimer.
It's like, hey, Christopher Nolan and Martin Scorsese, you can win plenty of awards and make really cool stuff in the limited series or, you know, like,
you don't have to
fucking put us through a 3.5 hour movie that you think we're going to sit in a theater and watch.
Well, then he shit, you know, he craps on like Marvel movies, which I get. I think I actually think they are oversaturated, but he's like, yeah, Marvel's taking away movies. And then he's like, but anyway, instead you should watch this 4.5 hour movie about genocide, where it's completely it's just like, it's not the greatest alternative to Marvel.
No, and it's also like he's just aiding and abetting this whole horrible AI situation by, you know, even suggesting that there should be movies where you see actors. Like, I didn't like the Harrison Ford younger scenes in the new indie.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't, but you know, that's the sort of a hill to die on where no one's going to care that you're on that hill or dying, you know, because there's just going to be, you know, more as technology just keeps getting better and better. They're going to keep trying to do more, but I just don't like it. I don't like the young Sam Jackson in the Marvel movies when they do that.
Oh, I didn't even notice they do that.
They did it in the first one with Brie Larson, the first, you know, they have scenes like, because it takes place like in the 80s or something. And so
like he just always looks the same age. I feel like they don't do that.
Well, they did.
He looked like 50
they did
for like
the 40 thing
years.
On him, and it looked. It's weird. It looks
even
weird.
In Coming to America. You're like, he's 50, and now you're like, he's 50.
Yeah,
you don't have to do that with Samuel Jackson.
Yeah,
and he always has a purple lightsaber. It's very odd.
Yeah, that is a strange decision.
Let's before we get into the games today, let's get some recommendations real quick, starting with Gabe. Can you recommend a movie that you've seen recently in any format?
I would love to. I recently watched this old movie called The Sterile Cuckoo. And it was filmed at my college. So I watched it mostly because I was like, oh, what do the scenes look like at the school I went to? And it's Liza Minnelli. And she kind of plays this like this woman who you can't. I kind of couldn't believe it was a late 60s movie where it's like, this feels like a woman in Brooklyn right now. And her performance is amazing. And they're like at having parties at places where like I've been drunk and stoned. I'm like, this is wild. So I like The Sterile Cuckoo a lot.
Right on. I haven't, you know. I don't think I've ever heard anybody discuss that movie since like, you know, the 70s. But, you know, Liza Minnelli could really turn it out. I bet you she got nominated for Best Actress for that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. She may have won, actually.
Didn't she win for Cabaret?
Yeah, that must have been it. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's not a multi, I don't think. Mm. But that's an excellent suggestion. I feel like, you know, the listeners are going to be unfamiliar with it. So try to find it. Do you know, is it on a streamer?
My buddy got it for me on Plex, which I don't know. It's a horrible thing to say.
Maybe your buddy can get everyone a Plex. If that,
give me your email. So DM me your emails and Chris Rose will hook you up.
Plex it up.
Gareth, what do you like lately? You got a recommendation?
Well, I watched a little art house movie called Pee-wee's Big Adventure recently.
Nice.
For the first time in a long time. And while I will say the first 10 minutes, I was like, he's very strange the way he giggles to himself all the time. That movie holds up and is so goddamn eerie. And I forget how funny that movie is on top of anything, because I loved it when I was like a kid, but that movie really had me going. So
it's so funny to hear someone go, Pee Wee Herman, he's a little strange.
Yeah, you know, if you watch back, I will say, now
it's
you look
odd.
At the guy, you look at the guy, you think, oh, this is like a guy, you know, normal guy. No, he's a little weird. Yeah, I was shocked. It's very weird. No, but yeah, I was laughing so hard. So that was a good watch.
I'd say it's got the best jump scare in a non-horror movie in history.
The large Marge face. Yeah, it's totally
that nuts. Thing. Like, there's people that are, you know, tormented by it.
Yeah, it's also learning a little more about it. Like, he just like got another screenplay and did Paint by Numbers with it. But it's such a it's just a really well put together movie. Tim Burton's first movie, Danny Elfman's first movie. So there's just a lot of like nascent stuff in there that's pretty interesting.
The music is great. I love using the music that's playing when in the beginning when he's got his like weird breakfast conveyor belt contraption, you know, his Rube Goldberg thing. The music playing during that. You know, it pops up a lot in other things because it's so good.
Yeah.
It's really, really catchy, especially for instrumental. All right. Renan, you've got, it doesn't matter what the other picks were because we just want to know what you like. What's your recommendation?
I'm really into this South Korean director, Lee Chang-dong, who made this movie, Secret Sunshine, which I think is really great. It's like 10 years old, but I highly recommend it. It's not on any streamer, so no one will ever watch it.
Is it on Plex?
It's on Plex, but like for some reason, people don't like if it's not on a streamer, no one will pay $3 to rent a movie anymore. It's just beyond, but it's an
incredible they just movie. Search it out for free because if you have multiple streamers. You're spending, you know, money for that shit. So it's like, might as well.
I'll watch this. It says it's streaming on Tubi. I might be incorrect.
Oh, okay. Well,
so how would this movie, how do you think this movie would play with commercial breaks?
You might not.
That's what they do on Tubi. On Tubi, they throw in commercials.
I love a commercial.
It's a pretty intense kind of like Job-like suffering movie, but it's also just great. He's the guy who did Burning. Do you remember Burning from a couple years ago?
Yeah. I mean, you will laugh out loud watching serious or scary or, you know, almost any kind of movie on Tubi or any of the ones that, you know, Pluto, any of the ones that put in ads because it just suddenly pops up. You know, the filmmaker didn't like do because, you know, every streaming thing you see now, they always do like they fade to black a lot so that if it does get sold to regular TV, they can put commercials in. Well, but, you know.
Podcasts are the funniest because podcasts will be like, climate change is going to destroy the world. It's irrevocable. Anyway, do you like mattresses?
And no, ours does that. We do that on the dollop sometimes. I'm like, whoa, what the hell just happened?
Jarring.
Like, yeah, I do love DoorDash, but is that man, he drowned?
Yeah, no, it's really funny. I just watched Harold and Maude recently on one of those where they throw in the commercials, and I laughed out loud a couple times because it'll be like just the second before he hangs himself, you know, it'll go to commercial.
How much would you pay for all this pizza?
I saw a great one yesterday on YouTube. I was watching, you know, that Katie Britt, that like crazy lady from Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She did the response speech.
By the way, that talk about an Oscar. That was unreal. Yeah.
I was watching her weird hyperventilating, crying, laughing speech about how awful Biden is on YouTube, and then right in the middle of it, it cut to an ad from Biden. It was like the greatest troll.
Nice. Yeah, that I mean, you know, it's been discussed to death, but just anyone involved deciding she should be in a kitchen. It makes no fucking sense. Like, what?
It was.
Like, I'm a lady who's made it in politics, but you know what? This kitchen's really where I belong.
The levels that she hit performance wise were really fantastic. I mean, she honestly, as far as acting goes, she was really going for every emotion.
But every emotion at once.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like a highlight reel. It was like she was really moving.
Her voice was despair, but her face was smiling.
Yes.
And her eyes were crying.
Seriously. Yeah. Like each feature had a different director.
It like combined every spectrum of human emotion into one thing.
Which is
watch
what
out
you
Emma
want.
Stone.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
That's true. It was the Emma Stone performance, you know.
All right, guys. Those are some fun recommendations. Seek them out and pay $3 to see them if you can, because you know. Might as well try to support these things. And we're going to play some messed up games after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and the first game we're going to play today is called Planes, Trains, or Automobiles. I'll name a movie, and you have to tell me if it's got a plane crash, a train crash, or a car crash. Morbid game, to be sure. Gabe's going to go first, and I'll give him a title, and he tells me either plane, train, or car. And if he gets it right, he gets a point. If he misses, then we go to Gareth. And if Gareth misses, then Renan would get the gimme point because there'd only be one option left, theoretically. First to 2 points wins. Are you ready, Gabe?
I'm so ready.
Okay. This first movie, I'd like you to tell me if it's got a plane crash, a car crash, or a train crash. A movie called Random Hearts.
Random Hearts. Okay.
Yeah.
I was really hoping we were going to give me Crash, but I will take Random Hearts.
There's some real obvious ones out there. Yeah.
Random Hearts. I'm going to say Train Crash.
Oh, you like Train Crash for Random Hearts? I didn't bring my, I'm out on the road. I'm at South by Southwest.
We're in the same city.
Oh, that's right. I think I do remember you telling me that you were going to be in Austin. Do you want to run over to my hotel room, do this in person?
I think we've already started, but I'll come by after to kind of talk about it.
What are you, doing South by West those, or are you just somewhere else in town?
Oh, no, I just did Cap City last night.
I see. Because, you're in San Antonio today.
Tonight. I'm in tonight. Austin now. So, yeah, we can hang out. I see.
And now it's all coming together. You're going to travel after we're done today.
That's right. That's right.
By train, plane, or
Well, that's the game, Doug. That's the next round.
And Renan and I are going to be in the same city, and we're also not hanging out. So this
that's
is just
right.
Four
yeah, it's just really
the Oscars a block away.
Yeah.
We need content in order to talk to each other.
Yeah.
I really do only talk to my friends via podcast now, and it's, I don't know if it's sad or just good that I have this outlet instead of just FaceTiming people. I want to talk about movies. All right. Okay. So Gabe, I, like I said, I don't have my right and wrong sound effects, so I'm just going to just tell you the news with my mouth, and that is incorrect. It is not a train crash. In Random Hearts, we go to Gareth. And that leaves a car or a plane.
Well, it's obviously no clue or insight into what the hell this movie is, but I feel like it'll be easiest to fall in love, which it sort of feels like it might be from a automobile accident. So I'll say a car.
I'm sorry, that is also incorrect.
Oh my God.
Renan, do you remember what the third option was?
Yeah, this would be an easy one if I was listening. No, I'm kidding. So I guess it's a plane crash.
Yeah, it is. So it's that's the other funny thing is that, you know, you can have the biggest stars in the world, and years later on a movie trivia podcast, people are going to treat your movie like it didn't exist.
Oh, wow.
Or you never heard of it, because this movie starred Harrison Ford and Kristin Scott Thomas, and they play. I'm just excited to tell you what this movie's about. They play people whose his wife and her husband die in a plane crash. And then through the their efforts to, you know, get their loved ones' belongings and whatnot, they discover that those two people were having an affair.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And what? So guess what happens to them?
They bang.
They fuck.
They fall in love. But it would have been even better if they died in a plane crash.
Or a train crash.
Yeah.
And Gabe was right.
Yeah, that would have been.
There's just not enough commercial crashes for that plot line to work, but
well, I don't know. We're headed in the direction where the
planes are falling apart.
Yeah, Boeing
sure.
is trying to do everything they can to make that plot function.
Every time I'm on a plane lately, I look around and go, "Well, it's still got ashtrays on the arms. This might be an old plane."
Yeah, no, that is such a sad truth.
I know. Yeah, every plane was from the 70s.
Oh, thank God, ashtrays! Back when they screwed them.
Okay, so Renan's on the board, but anybody can win this still. So Gabe, you're up first again.
It's a tough position.
Plane crash, train crash, or automobile crash in a movie called White Knights.
White Knights. Okay. Interesting. Gareth, I feel like your logic last round was so strong and it was still wrong. So I feel like I really don't know what to do.
I know. Don't take anything I do.
I'm going to say a car crash.
There's a car crash in White Knights is unfortunately incorrect.
Okay.
Gareth with the perfect logic.
Reminder, I'm losing. Well, instead of using my movie logic, I always try to go with the Doug logic, which is Doug just going to turn this into a thing where I'm going to keep regretting not saying plane, which is possible, but I'll go train on this one. No, Doug, not a good laugh.
Renan will find your hotel. Our winner.
No. Damn it. Douglas.
Oh my God. I knew these would be, you know, difficult, but I don't know. I just I thought
what do you think?
Double plane crash is a real mind fuck.
Yeah. Well, you're both but also just two unlucky guesses by two players back to back. It's just it's impressive.
Thank you. But
I appreciate, like, now I have lots of answers left. I could play this game again sometime in the future. Because it is fun to talk about fictional plane crashes. And this movie is a plane crash and a very spectacular one, like a well-shot plane crash. Mikhail Baryshnikov stars ballet dancer trying to defect. He's trying to defect from Russia and his plane crashes in Siberia.
Wow.
And you can imagine out of it or something.
Yeah, is he plieing away?
Yeah. Well, it's got lots of dancing in it. And Gregory Hines is the co-star because he's this a black guy that somehow, I forget how he knows him or why, but this guy tries to help him out. And he's a tap dancer. So there's a lot of tap dancing and ballet.
Okay.
In this weird ass movie.
It sounds like a very whimsical thing involving a plane crash.
It's not, well, it's kind of, you know, the plane crash just sort of sets the plot in motion, which is true of a lot of movies that have plane crashes in them. It's just sort of plane crashes and then person stuck on an island or whatever, or they have to eat each other. Okay. So congratulations to Renan. You killed it. You won that game. And that means you get to go first in our next game, which is not really a prize and not really a win. But we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car.
you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and we got one more serious game to play.
Okay.
To determine our winner today. Renan won the first game, but in this game, he can't sit back and wait for the points to come to him.
Well, he didn't really do that. I mean, he was just, he wasn't like a strat. I mean, he just went last. It was advantageous.
Yeah. No, he just
sat
there.
It's the first time. It's the first time I'm winning and feel like it's been rigged in my favor at the same time.
Yeah.
Usually I accuse that of other people.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to give Gabe and Gareth
don't do that, Doug. We're all better than that, Doug.
Doug, you should have just kept on going, and it was plane crash every time, and just watch people just lose their mind.
I was a part of one of those. I don't remember what it was like. Bear, wolf, or whatever attack, and we probably did like 8 of them, and by like 6 you're like, is every one of these gonna be a goddamn bear, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, today everyone was a plane crash. I have several more.
What were the other ones?
I'm not gonna tell you.
Okay. He's saving it.
Saving for the
somebody that's a future guest might listen to this episode, and then
I guess it probably not, wasn't
it wouldn't be cheating, but it would be definitely getting some help. Yeah. But also
flight, Lord of the Flies.
Just, yeah,
they get even weirder than the two that I told you about. The two that I told you about were like commercial movies, and one of them was a huge hit.
The
Baryshnikov one was a huge hit and got a lot of Oscar nominations.
Are you serious? Wow.
Might have even been Best Picture, but definitely stuff like screenplay and cinematography and stuff. It's a really it's a handsome film, as I recall.
Sure.
I saw it when I was a kid. All right. So Renan gets to go first in our next game. And this is the one you have to win it all. It's called The Little Search Engine That Could.
Mm-hmm.
I typed a word into the search engine on IMDb and wrote down the top 12 movies that had that word in the title, which is ranked by popularity this very day by IMDb.
Okay.
Yeah. Today I picked a word that has been in probably hundreds of movie titles. The word is the... No, I'm kidding. The word... The name of the top movies that begin with the... No, the word is you. Y-O-U.
Y-O-U.
Yeah, so Renan's going to go first. And then what you do, Renan, is you name a movie that has the word you in it. I'll tell you if it made the top 10. If it did, the higher up on the list it is, the more points you get. Number 1 is worth 10 points. Number 10 is worth 1 point. And then there's all those points in between. And we reversed the order on this. So after Renan is Gareth, and then Gabe, and you'll each take turns until you've made 3 guesses apiece. You know, as we go, I'll tell you when you guess, I'll tell you where it landed on the list if it did. And then we'll add up all the points, and the losers go home, and the winner plays the bonus round. There's no bonus round. All right. So are you ready, Renan?
Yeah, sure.
That's the spirit.
As you will ever be. Okay, so you just need to name a movie that you think is very popular today, like being searched on IMDb today, that has the word you in it.
These movies are the ones who are most searched on IMDb, you're saying, correct?
I think that's how it ranks. Yeah, it's the popularity ranking, and they, you know, they sprinkle in TV shows and stuff. So, and any actors with the name you, but I don't think there are any. So, but I just wrote down the top 12 in
order.
Top
12 movies searched with the word you.
Word you, and it is as of this morning today.
Because they, you know, they're always changing it around.
Right.
You're always moving.
Have you thought of a few at this point?
I thought of one. It's a little tough because it's like most movies don't start with you. And the only movie I can think of right off the top of my head that starts with you is You Can Count on Me, which is probably not the most searched movie on IMDb. But I'm really... Wait, are you afraid?
Definitely tell some more titles that
what
the other players can say later. Right.
keep spitballing there.
Keep talking. Keep talking.
Wait, hold on. Let me just give me a second. Hold on.
And you'll get two more guesses. So okay. It's not all on the line right here.
All right. Fuck. You Can Count on Me. I know that's not gonna be on there.
Well, it was, you know, the big, basically, that was the movie that gave us Mark Ruffalo.
It's a great movie. But
And, Laura Linney is in it. It's very good.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Unfortunately, it didn't make...
No, I know. Well,
but, I mean, you'll be surprised what did. You know, it doesn't necessarily... it's not a quality list or anything like that.
Damn it. I thought of one.
But, but this is, the thing about it, too, with this one is there are, I'm not kidding, like hundreds of movies that have you in them. So that's also the thing is, you know, that one you said, You Can Count on Me could be, you know, number 13 or 14 or something.
12 answers just popped into my head after I got that wrong.
Okay. Well, now that's, you're going to get two more tries, but now we go to Gareth. Gareth, what's your guess?
I'm going to just call my shot that this, I don't even need two guesses after this one.
Wow.
But not in a good way. I should point that's not me boasting. the just has you in the title.
Yeah, anywhere in the title. Could be the first word, could be the sixth word.
I'm going to say I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm. Oh, that's a terrific guess, but not on the list.
Oh, wow. That popped in my head immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is tough for my long-term strategy. This is not great.
But somebody will get on the board eventually. I have faith. Gabe?
So I was just thinking of this movie because I was with my friend Nick and he hates this movie so much. And we put it on cable and he was like, we must turn this off, which is Now You See Me.
Hmm.
The magic movie.
Oh, my God.
I still can't get over the fact that they made a sequel and called it Now You See Me Too.
Oh, and not,
they could have called it Now You Don't.
Yeah, genius. Oh, yeah, God. It was right there.
It was so, but they just, the IP situation is so out of control that they think people won't be able to figure out it's a sequel to that dumb movie. But like the biggest misuse of Mark Ruffalo, the way he runs around trying to catch these stupid magicians is just embarrassing. His character in that movie is sillier than his character in Poor Things. But Now You See Me is on the list and it came in at number 8.
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
Number 8 on the list. So that means Gabe has got, let's see here, 10, 9, 8.
A million?
6, 5, 4. No, 3 points.
Okay, I'll take 3.
Oh, wait. Is that right? No, I fucked it up. Hang on. 12, 11. I should have done this before the show.
No.
It's nobody needs to listen to me figure out the math of this, but 4. Wait. God damn it. Okay, yeah. 3, 2, 1. Yes. Okay, so you get 5 points for that.
Nice.
Gabe is on the board. We're back to Renan. What do you think? What's another you movie?
Well, I've been thinking about movies in the past, but I think I'm going to fuck that and just say a very recent movie. And I don't know, that Sydney Sweeney movie, Anyone But You.
Anyone But You, a rom-com. I hear it's like, I hear it's not that bad. And then it's also, I guess it's also dirty, lots of dirty humor. And it's, but the thing they hid from the public, much like how they hide a musical these days, like the trailers never give away that it's a musical, like Color Purple or Mean Girls. In this case, they don't give away that it's the source material is Shakespeare. And it's it's an adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But they're not copying. They just copped to it, you know, more recently, like it wasn't ever any part of the promotion of the film. But it's the film's doing well. And it's doing so well that it is number one on the list.
Yeah.
Wow.
Renan coming through with a whopping 12 points.
That's tough. I think a
7-point lead. But Gareth, you could still do this. A couple.
I don't
of sixes
believe that
and
I
you
can.
Tie him up.
No, but again, there's knowledge we're not acknowledging. Believe me, I'm with my brain right now. That confidence is unwarranted.
You said you didn't even need three guesses when you popped off that.
That's out of context, Doug. I tried to really, I told you what I meant. It was not good. I am very confident this will be my last guess, by the way. I will say, I know you did last summer too. Is that what other? I don't even know if this is the actual title. And 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Speaking of Shakespeare and being successfully adapted into a rom-com, even one with children in it, it's like one of my favorite movies that, I mean, they're adults. You know, Heath Ledger was probably 24 or something.
Right.
But it's my favorite, like one of my favorite high school based set movies, because I'm generally not interested in them. But it's pretty good. And it's... number six on the list.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
So you got a nice 7 points. You're right in the middle now. But Gabe gets the opportunity to add more points to his score.
Yeah.
His next guess right now.
I'm going to, speaking of romantic comedy, I'm going to say That Thing You Do.
Oh,
oh, that's good.
Oh. Fun trivia about that movie. Did you know that Tom Hanks's character is gay?
What? No.
Yeah. Watch it again.
I thought you were going to say, did you know it's based on the Beatles?
No, I thought you were going to say Tom Hanks wrote and directed it.
Based on how the Beatles are all gay. No, it's, you know, they just thought that was an interesting character thing to do, is have him be gay. And then, like, the one or two scenes where, you know, it's kind of revealed that he's gay ended up getting cut from the movie.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and he was obviously not acting all swishy or anything. But if you watch it, you can kind of sense that that's what they were going for. If you're watching it with that eye, put your gay eye on.
That's what the, just a little gay.
The B side to That Thing You Do is all swishy, which actually makes a lot of sense.
It was like 90s gay. It was like pretty hidden.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Right, yeah. Can you imagine sitting through that movie if you hated That Thing You Do, the song? Because they play it like 15 times.
Man. I think I got there eventually.
They really were one hit Oneaters.
That's right.
Okay, so unfortunately that did not make the list.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a classic that people should revisit. And you know, it's one of those movies where you go, oh yeah, that's right. That's Charlize Theron as the bitch. the bitchy girlfriend. Okay. Gabe. Are you there, Gabe?
I'm here, yeah.
It's your turn.
Did I not just... Oh, I go again.
Yeah, you each get three guesses.
That's right, that's right. okay, so... Sorry. Please edit
it's okay.
So I was in this play in high school, and there's a movie, they made a movie about it in, I think, the 50s, maybe earlier.
They made a movie about you in high school?
And yeah, they did it in the 50s? So I love your,
yeah, it's about not having sex.
Gabe, I love your who wants to be a millionaire answers where you tell the backstory first. It was 1982.
I do so much of everything needs to be an hour.
Yeah,
the movie's called You Can't Take It With You.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I think it won the Oscar for Best Picture in 1938.
Oh, wow.
If it I'm not early. Mistaken. Yeah, hella early. And... probably on the list somewhere, but not in the top 12. Okay. On Forge. But you still have a shot at this. There's still enough points out there for you to surpass Renan, but Renan, you have a chance to add more points right now.
Well, I feel like, you know, at first I went with like an independent film and got cruelly, you know, corrected. And then I went with Money and got right. But the only thing now I can think of is another independent film, but I'll just go with it. You Are Not Here.
Ooh.
Wait.
Another one that probably.
Wait, I just realized I don't even know if that's actually a movie. Wait, is that what the Dylan movie's called?
I'm not here. I'm not here. But You Are Not Here does sound like it could be a title.
I just said a movie that doesn't exist.
Maybe,
I've been going through like 8 titles that I don't believe exist in my head.
I'm just going to go with I Love You. I'll just assume
that's a good one.
Oh, that's a fun way to go. I was hoping there's an obscure movie called I Love You that people are searching right now. And there isn't. But you're in the lead with 12 points. You could still win this
thing. Yeah.
You could go back to sitting mode where you win while just sitting there.
Hell yeah. Passive.
Yeah, exactly. But also, it's exciting. This is like on Price is Right when you know, the first person spins a number and now you have to wait and see if anybody can top you. Starting with Gareth, what is one of these fictional titles that you've got that you think...
Well, my first spin would be like the 30 Cent. So, it, whatever. I was going to say You Can Count on Me, but I know that is a movie. I have no idea what it was. But after Renan answered, I think I Love You, Man. Is that...
Yeah.
It's not I think. It's just I Love You, Man.
Doug, don't do this. We're in Austin together. Don't you betray your Austin
you
brother.
Entirely right now. I think I love you, man.
You're combining it with I think I love my wife. The Christmas.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But also, it's funny that you kind of wanted to guess You Can Count on Me when that was Renan's first guess.
Oh, is that... Well, things are good over here, everybody. Things are fine.
You're like, for some reason, I'm thinking You Can Count on Me. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I do. It's very...
Dude, I incepted. My head.
I've
been sitting here thinking of you movie titles that don't exist for so long. Now, wait, is that... You never said that we can't guess another person's movie, though, Doug, to be fair.
Mm. Oh, no, you didn't break any rules. You just basically just I want 0 points.
That's been my attitude the whole game, Doug.
Because we've already established that movie is not on the list.
Yeah.
And I'd
love for you to check one more time just to be safe.
Okay, I'm going to look it over. And I think I love you or I love you. Or
I love you, man. Yeah.
I love you, man. None of those made the list. I would have given it to you.
But I Love You, Man is a movie.
It is.
Okay, yeah. All right. I'm just happy. I'm just happy that I answered with something that nobody else did.
It's Paul Rudd, and everybody likes to quote him saying slapping the bass.
Yeah. Mm.
He's slapping the bass in that movie.
By the way, You Are Not Here is actually the Joaquin Phoenix movie, right? What, the action movie?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's not there or here. Gabe, if you get a movie on this list that's in the top, we've got number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, any of those will bring you the win. Anything after that, Renan will retain his...
And Doug, just to be clear, I don't have a chance at this one. This is...
No,
for me,
I can't think
it's
of
over.
A way to...
There's
take
not a path. Okay.
From Renan, so
okay. I tried to do that by guessing his first game. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, that would have been interesting. It would have been really funny if when you guessed it, it was on the list.
That would be problematic.
This guy is really rigging this thing. All right, Gabe, what do you got?
So I think this round is officially a plane crash. But I also think this movie, I feel like I wasn't thinking about good movies. And then I was like, I should change my tune. Okay, so I think it's Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, ooh, yeah. It's got to be on there.
I like the way you thought it through, Gabe. And it was a valiant effort in the clutch to try to topple Renan's 7-point lead. But I'm here to tell you, Catch Me If You Can is number 2 on the list.
Whoa!
11 points, bringing you to a whopping total of 16. And Gabe, Malika, you are our winner this week. Wow.
Thank you, everybody. How exciting.
That was a nice pull, Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a sneaky you. You know, you don't really think of the word you being in there even. You know, it's like,
all the focus is on catching somebody and whether or not it's possible.
I thought one more as he said, I never promised you a rose garden. That's something, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's certainly a song lyric.
Or you can count on me. Nobody said that one.
Yeah, I really wish somebody did because it's number three. All right, let me tell you what's going on with this. The ones you missed. We'll start at the bottom with number 12 was the Sean Connery James Bond classic. Ah. You Only Live Twice.
Yes.
Number 11 was one of my favorite Adam Sandler films, You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Oh,
oh yes. Wow.
Which is just the most ridiculous movie. Yes, it's insane. So funny.
It's great. Yeah.
does so much weird shit with his feet. Quentin Tarantino's favorite comedy. Number 10 on the list, no one was going to get this unless they were just, you know, spitballing expressions, because it's a movie called I See You that starred Helen Hunt. And I think somebody in it was maybe blind or something.
Oh, I know which one that is. Yeah. I think he's, yes, there's a disability.
Yeah, sure, she falls in love with somebody disabled. And,
yeah, right.
And then speaking of Sandler, you know, his daughters wrote and starred in a movie that he made for Netflix called You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I've seen some of it and it's really good.
Really?
Because it's, you know, it's from this perspective of his, you know, his daughters are clearly smart girls because like it's what I saw of it, I was like, I would actually watch this whole movie. And at first I was like, oh, Sandler's daughters. I don't know if there's anything there for me. But I think it's really good, what I saw of it. Then there's like it was on streaming. It debuted on streaming, but it's very popular. And it's number 7 on the list. A movie with no dialogue. So I didn't care for it because I don't like those kind of stunty things where people are intentionally not talking for an entire movie, but it's called No One Will See You.
Mm.
Or is it No One Will Help You? I think it's No One Will Help You. I don't know what I wrote down. I think I wrote down See You because the next movie was Now You See Me. No One Will Help You. No One Will Save You. That's what it's called. No One Will Save You.
Oh, the horror, that one about the alien invasion. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Interesting.
There's no talking. And even in the beginning, when there should be talking, people are like just making faces at each other. So it's just like, yeah. You know, I get it as an exercise, but I just didn't love the movie. And the girl that stars in it, Caitlin Dever, I like her.
She's great. Yeah.
Anytime somebody's a good actor, you don't want to see them in some movie where they never speak, you know, like, they're good for you that you got to do a movie where you never had to learn lines.
That's a good point. That's a really easy.
Yeah. Like Nicolas Cage doesn't speak in Wally's Wonderland and or Willy's Wonderland. And, you know, he just fights robots the whole movie. He just, you know, Chuck E. Cheese type characters come to
that'll
life
do.
And try to kill people. But his character doesn't speak. The other characters speak, but he's silent. A rom without the com starring Emilia Clarke was number 5. It's called Me Before You.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A Julia Louis-Dreyfus movie that came out recently that has supporting turn by David Cross and his wife, Amber Tamblyn, called You Hurt My Feelings.
Yeah. I do a bit about that movie. That's I couldn't think of it.
You is right there. It's the first word. But it is, that also is a, that's one of those titles. Like there's so many titles these days that just come and go for me because they are just like kind of just a random sentence, you know, like I'm at South by Southwest. And on the first day I saw, I Don't Understand You and I Love You Forever.
Wow.
Yeah. They're both good, but, you know, just titles that just sound like somebody just said a sentence and somebody wrote it down. And then number 3 was a Netflix film that got I felt like it got a terribly mixed reaction. I like parts of it, but it's called You People.
Mm. Oh,
that was Jonah Hill and Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Right,
that,
right,
yeah. That the whole premise is just a black girl dating a white guy, which would, which I guess, have been a premise in the 60s, but
pretty crazy if you think about it. I don't
a
know.
White guy dates a black girl.
It
what
is
else?
That's ugly. It.
And Tom Hanks is gay.
It's yeah.
going on?
It starts off, you That's people, it. I thought it started off really funny and like it was going to be a fun movie because the first scene is like at a wedding and Jonah Hill's character, every single relative he has says something horrifying to him, you know, just in conversation. They're all terrible. Everybody's racist or stupid or both. And he's just always like the white guy that's trying to, you know, trying to be woke or whatever. And I thought that was really funny at first, but then after a while, I was like, oh no, this is just, they don't really have a point that they're trying to make. It's just.
Yeah. And it had that annoying, that thing that's so overdone now where all the characters look like they have a Comedy Central roast group of writers. Like just yeah. roasting each other. Like, wow, all these normal people should really like become roasters. They're just like that's just how they have dialogue. They're just like,
it's really, like yeah, there. The dialogue's really, but I tell you, the first scene I thought was really funny, just the way everyone was terrible. But then like, you know, just see, watching Julia Louis-Dreyfus have to continue to be terrible through a whole movie is just like, oh, okay. I get it. She likes to do things that are different, but
it's very cringe, I think.
You know, like, I you know, and I think Jonah Hill is so funny, but like his personal life stuff has been so weird in the last few years.
Yeah.
He's just
Scott's documentary was one of the weirder things I've seen.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like that.
I couldn't figure out what I felt about it, and I still don't think I know.
Yeah.
It's weird because it kind of breaks the number one rule of what's therapy. Happening in therapy.
Yeah.
That it's just between so two he. People behind closed doors. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, so Catch Me If You Can was number two, of course, and Anyone But You was number one. Congrats again to Gabe Malika for being our winner today. We'll have you back on the show soon, but for now, please promote yourself. What have you got to promote?
Yeah, I have a big week in Boston. I'm doing my solo show for a week in a theater that's maybe too big, but we're turning it into a week of theater. So please come see me in April at the Calderwood Pavilion. Seven shows in 5 days, April 16th through the 21st.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I like Bean Town. Gareth Reynolds.
Well, clearly
would you like to promote?
Been to Boston, Doug. You're dropping the local stuff.
I mean, I really, when I come to town, I do 40 minutes just on the words Beantown. And I'll tell you, they love it. They love to hear about
they
themselves.
Eat that up. That's why it's Beantown.
I should call Chicago the Beantown because of the big meat.
I actually, everywhere
yeah,
I go,
the
I do Beantown
bean
stuff.
Chicago.
Yeah. You guys should be called Beantown. I have a new podcast called We're Here to Help that people can listen to. I also, this week, will be in Lafayette and New Orleans, and then I'll be in the Midwest in April and all over. So go to GarethReynolds.com and on all the bullshit, I'm at Reynolds Gareth. And Doug, I got to say very quickly, I saw Super Jaime at South by Southwest 1 year, and I was like, I fucking loved it. So
that was the, did you see in the daytime or nighttime?
I think daytime.
Yeah, so you saw afternoon screening over at the convention center.
Yes.
It was the second screening. It premiered at the Paramount on the first night of the festival that year. And thank you for, that's so wild that you were there.
I know. I was just thinking that when we established you in the same place, but so great. But anyway, that's
yeah. All. And do you remember a lady at the end of the Q&A? Maybe you didn't stay for the Q&A.
I think I did.
Oh, okay. At the end of the Q&A, a lady asked me, describe this experience in 3 words. And I was like, I was just such a mic drop moment. I just said, some questions suck. And then I just walked out. I didn't like, you know, say thanks for coming or anything. It's just such a funny thing to walk exit on. So speaking of South by Southwest, like starting when I came to the premiere of that movie, many 16, 17 years ago, ever since then, I've come to South by Southwest every year. And
They are very nice at the South by Southwest Comedy to let me do Doug Loves Movies tapings at every South by Southwest, and this one is no exception. So you can see it today, because this episode comes out on Monday. So today at 4 o'clock at Esther's Follies in downtown Austin. If you have a South by Southwest badge, of course you get right in. But also, if you bring some, if you fashion some sort of name tag, it doesn't have to be good. You can get in for free today at Esther's at 4. You have to pay to get in if you want to come join us at the Improv on Tuesday, March 19th. And I think that's everything I want to say. Oh yeah, for all of my dates and ticket links, including March 19th at the Lab at the Improv in LA, go to DougLovesMovies.com. I always end every episode with
I never did my plugs.
Yeah, Renan.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. I always end every episode by just updating everybody on what's going on with Renan Hirschberg. And so I call it Renan's Corner. And what would you like to plug?
You could just sign up to my mailing list at ranancomedy.com, R-A-A-N-A-N comedy, and you'll get alerts to my upcoming dates.
Oh my God. How often do you, is it like Amber Alerts? Do they happen a lot?
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I have any thought, I text everyone.
Every time he walks out of a movie.
My very personal Twitter. No, just when I'm in your town, you know, and I'll be at Dr. Grin's next weekend if you want to come see me live in Lansing, Michigan.
I love it too, because everybody listening when I skipped doing your plugs was just sitting there waiting for the shoe to drop. You're like, for you to say something or me to remember or us to just completely move on and just like it didn't happen. So I end every show. Thanks again to Gareth Reynolds, Renan Hirschberg, and Gabe.
Of course, so much fun.
Thank you, Doug.
This is the best.
I end every episode with a line from the last line from a motion picture. So I dug up, I found what the last line is to the movie You Can't Take It With You.
Hey.
Yeah. And so, as always, I hope you like it, Mr. Kirby.
Thanks so much, Doug. Have a good night. Another talkie.
Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.